The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's a day to rejoice because this is another week of Easter. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Monday, April 24th, 2023, Monday of the third week of Easter. In the Missal, it's liturgical year A, cycle 1. Monday is a day to pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And today is the optional memorial of St. Fidelis of Sigmaringen. Born in 1557 in Sigmaringen, Germany, he was a practicing lawyer. He traveled across Europe as a tutor to aristocrats. But then he started serving the poor. In 1612, he became a Franciscan Capuchin monk. He was a missionary to Switzerland, and Fidelis was so successful that local Protestants claimed that he was a spy for the Austrian emperor. He also served as the head of the congregation for spreading of the faith, and he was stabbed to death in a church in 1622. St. Fidelis of Sigmaringen, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. My God, I adore you and I love you with all my heart. I thank you for having created me, made me a Christian, and preserved me this night. I offer you the actions of this day. Grant that all of them may be in accordance with your holy will and for your greater glory. Protect me from sin and from all evil. Let your grace be always with me and with all my dear ones. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying for the spread of peace and nonviolence by decreasing the use of weapons by states and citizens. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me. Well, my favorite ancient philosopher, Aristotle, he was a great observer of nature, of the skies, as in the planets and the stars, of the animals, plants, everything. He was a tremendous observer. And looking at the planets moving across the sky at night, are the plants growing and blossoming like they do at this time of year? Are the birds building their nests? He realized they all have one thing in common, and that is that they are all motivated. They have a motive, which really means they have something that moves them. The way he put this was, nothing is moved at random, but there must always be something present to move it. And that move it, that mover is the motive. If there was no motive, the planets would just stop moving in the sky. The plants would, I suppose, shrivel up and die. The birds would just sit in the trees and not bother with their nests. And the animals, for example, wouldn't go out hunting. What about us, you and me? Well, we are the same, and we are different. We're the same, and we all feel this at times. If we don't have a motivation, for example, feeling a bit low or a bit depressed, it's even actually physically hard to move. We lack motivation. You contrast that when we are highly motivated, or we know somebody who's really a very motivated person, they're always on the move. You can't stop them. But we're also different in that, unlike the planets and the plants and the birds and the animals, we can choose what will motivate us. The birds, for example, can't change their motivation. They can't say at this time in spring, they can, oh, well, this year I just forego the nest building thing just for this year. They can't do that. Now, today's gospel is all about motivation. We see in it some very motivated people. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, his disciples saw him walking in the water. Next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side saw that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not got into the boat with his disciples, but that the disciples had set off by themselves. Other boats, however, had put in from Tiberias near the place where the bread had been eaten. When the people saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into those boats and crossed to Capernaum to look for Jesus. When they found him on the other side, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" So these are very motivated in their search for Jesus. These people commandeer these boats. They travel perhaps even miles over the lake to get to the other side of the lake where Jesus is. You can see them almost sprinting up the other shore to catch up with Jesus. So literally they are very motivated. But what is it that is motivating them? It's not enough just to be motivated. And Jesus brings this up with them when he says to them, and it may be something that they weren't expecting to hear, "I tell you most solemnly, you are not looking for me because you have seen the signs, but because you have had all the bread you wanted to eat." So this episode takes place just after one of those miraculous multiplications of loaves and fishes, the 5,000 fed with this, we can imagine, really beautiful bread. And they get all excited, not by Jesus himself, but by the bread that Jesus can bring them. And that's it. They loved their bread. They want more bread. That's what motivates them. Nothing higher than that. They want you, Jesus, for the bread you can give them. We could ask ourselves then, what motivates me? I mean, what really motivates me? Because we might say, "Oh, Jesus motivates me," or "being good motivates me." But these people racing across the lake, if you'd stop them in their boat and say, "Well, what are you searching for?" They would say, "Oh, Jesus of Nazareth." But if you were to say, what motivates you? What are you really searching for? Be sincere. They would just have to say, "Bread." Nice, freshly baked bread. And that's it. Nothing more. Now, in the gospel, Jesus forces them to really consider this. He forces them to examine their motivation. And really, we have to do the same. It's a very important thing for us to do. In a certain sense, it's the most important thing for us to do. Examine sincerely, deeply, my motivation. And sometimes if we do that, we might end up just being a little bit surprised. I thought my motivation was higher, more supernatural. But really, it could be just like these people racing across the lake to catch up with Jesus, just enthusiastic about a big meal. Jesus tells them, and he tells you, and he tells me, not to do that, not to fall into that trap. Because what he tells the Jews that had caught up with him, "Do not work for food that cannot last, but work for food that endures to eternal life." So much of the food that you and I will find ourselves working for, really enthusiastically perhaps, is food that cannot last. Sure, we need food, we need bread and so on, but not as our ultimate motivation. And so the great danger is that the bread or the glory or the fame or the popularity or just the money would be my ultimate motivation, my ultimate goal. And if that is the case, well then, eventually, sooner or later, we will end up with our hands empty, saying to ourselves, "That was not worth the effort. Only eternal, lasting goals are worth it. Only they can be the true motivation." And so it is something that we do, kind of have to be sincere. What motivates me? There's a story told by the famous French painter Henri Matisse. Well, I don't know much about him, but I don't think he was much of a believer. But he did have a very good friend who was a nun, Sister Jacques-Marie. And he knew her before she became a nun. He was a bit shocked, I think, by the very fact she became a nun. But she was involved in the decoration of a chapel that her order had. And she got Henri, her old friend, Henri Matisse, to paint it for her. And at the end of it, he said something a bit strange. Seeing his masterpiece, and it's generally believed to be a great masterpiece, the Chapel of the Rosary in Venice, He said to her, maybe he was just teasing, but he said, this work was for me. And Sister Jacques-Marie was a bit surprised by that. And she said to him, but you told me you were doing it for God. God was your motivation, not yourself. And Matisse replied, yes, but I am God. So, very strange. But in a certain sense, that's it. Our motivation is either God or something else, which is not worthwhile. Think of the apostles, the martyrs, all the saints who've ever lived throughout the history of the church, and everything they did in their lives. We find very motivated people. In other words, doing things for the glory of God, ultimately, as our ultimate motivation, is not a poor motivation. Not like I only get really motivated if I'm looking for money or for popularity or something. No, the greatest, they show us that actually the greatest motivation and the most enduring motivation is doing things for the love of God, even in very ordinary lives, that it is actually truly motivating. We're not kind of, oh, well, I can't really be motivated because I'm doing this for God. No, it is the one true motivation, that food that lasts for eternity, endures to eternal life, as Jesus says. Let's ask Jesus as we finish this time of prayer, Lord, help me to purify my motivations. Have what we call rectitude of intention, that I wouldn't be doing this thinking like, Matisse, I am God. I want this all, everything, my prayer this morning, the day that faces me today, everything that I would do would ultimately be motivated by love for you. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 15 minutes past the hour, and this is Daybreak. It's Monday, April 24th, 2023, Monday of the third week of Easter. I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin the liturgical day right now as we join in prayer with the whole church. We're led by our friends at divineoffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
The Lord's is the earth and all its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob.
O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war.
O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence. Alleluia.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence. Alleluia.
The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion's perfect beauty, he shines. Our God comes. He keeps silence no longer. Before him, fire devours. Around him, tempest rages. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people. Summon before me my people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence. Alleluia.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Alleluia.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Alleluia.
Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you, for I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you. I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds. For I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky. All that moves in the field belongs to me. Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you, and you shall honor me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Alleluia.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts. Alleluia.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts. Alleluia.
But God says to the wicked, but how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips, you who despise my law and throw my words to the winds? You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil and whose tongue is plotting crime. You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son, you do this, and should I keep silence? Do you think that I am like you? Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. A sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts. Alleluia.
My heart and my flesh. Alleluia.
Rejoice in the living God. Alleluia.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. They held in check the earth's four winds, so that no wind blew on land or sea or through any tree. I saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out at the top of his voice to the four angels who were given power to ravage the land and the sea. Do no harm to the land or the sea or the trees until we imprint this seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. I heard the number of those who were so marked, 144,000 from every tribe of Israel, 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, and 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin. After this, I saw before me a huge crowd, which no one could count, from every nation and race, people and tongue. They stood before the throne and the Lamb, dressed in long white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation is from our God, who is seated on the throne, and from the Lamb." All the angels who were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures fell down before the throne to worship God. They said, "Amen. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "Who are these people all dressed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you should know better than I." He then told me, "These are the ones who have survived the great period of trial. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It was this that brought them before God's throne. Day and night they minister to him in his temple. He who sits on the throne will give them shelter. Never again shall they know hunger or thirst, nor shall the sun or its heat beat down upon them, for the Lamb on the throne will shepherd them. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Who are these people clothed in white robes? Who are they and where have they come from? I said to him,
"These are the people who have undergone the great persecution. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Alleluia."
I saw beneath the altar the spirits of those who had been slain because of their witness to the word of God.
These are the people who have undergone the great persecution. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Alleluia.
From the commentary on the first letter of Peter by St. Bede, the Venerable Priest. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. This praise was given long ago by Moses to the ancient people of God, and now the Apostle Peter rightly gives it to the Gentiles, since they have come to believe in Christ who, as the cornerstone, has brought the nations together in the salvation that belonged to Israel. Peter calls them a chosen race because of their faith, to distinguish them from those who, by refusing to accept the living stone, have themselves been rejected. They are a royal priesthood because they are united to the body of Christ, the supreme king and true priest. As sovereign, he grants them his kingdom, and as high priest, he washes away their sins by the offering of his blood. Peter says they are a royal priesthood. They must always remember to hope for an everlasting kingdom and to offer to God the sacrifice of a blameless life. They are also called a consecrated nation, a people claimed by God as his own. In accordance with the Apostle Paul's explanation of the prophet's teaching, "My righteous man lives by faith, but if he draws back, I will take no pleasure in him. But we," he says, "are not the sort of people who draw back and are lost. We are those who remain faithful until we are saved." In the Acts of the Apostles, we read, "The Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he brought with his own blood." Thus, through the blood of our Redeemer, we have become a people claimed by God as his own. As in ancient times, the people of Israel were ransomed from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. In the next verse, Peter makes a veiled allusion to the ancient story and explains that this story is to be spiritually fulfilled by the new people of God, so that, he says, they may declare his wonderful deeds. Those who were freed by Moses from slavery in Egypt sang a song of triumph to the Lord after they had crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army had been overwhelmed. In the same way, now that our sins have been washed away in baptism, we too should express fitting gratitude for the gifts of heaven. The Egyptians who oppress the people of God and who can also stand for darkness or trials are an apt symbol of the sin that once oppressed us, but have now been destroyed in baptism. The deliverance of the children of Israel and their journey to the long-promised land corresponded with the mystery of our redemption. We are making our way toward the light of our heavenly home with the grace of Christ leading us and showing us the way. The light of his grace was also symbolized by the cloud and the pillar of fire, which protected the Israelites from darkness throughout their journey and brought them by a wonderful path to their promised homeland. You are a chosen race, a holy nation, a people God has claimed as his own.
Proclaim the marvelous works of him who has called us out of darkness into his own wonderful light. Alleluia.
The Lord chose you and freed you from the land of slavery.
Proclaim the marvelous works of him who has called us out of darkness into his own wonderful light. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that putting off our old self with all its ways, we may live as Christ did. For through the healing paschal remedies, you have conformed us to his nature, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
26 minutes before the hour, we'll check out today's gospel in just a few minutes, as well as In Conversation with God in morning prayer on Daybreak, on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Monday of the third week of Easter. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, a crowd hunts Jesus down, but then he tells them, "Your reason for seeking me out is poor motivation," and he sets them straight. It's from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John.
On the next day, the people who remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. However, boats from Tiberias came near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the people saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him,
"Rabbi, when did you come here?"
"Truly, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal."
"What must we do to be doing the works of God?"
"This, is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Well, here's something that almost all of us need to work on getting over. That is worrying about what other people will think. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. The place where we look for holiness is in our work, in our relationships with the people who share the same tasks with us, in our social contacts, and in our families. When we come across obstacles, lack of understanding, or unjust criticism, we will ask our Lord for his grace to keep us calm, and normally we will not stop doing apostolate. Our Lord did not always find well-intentioned people when he was spreading the good news. This never stopped him from talking about the marvels of the kingdom of God. The apostles at the beginning of the church and the first Christians also found themselves in situations and environments which, at least at first, completely rejected the doctrine of salvation they had in their hearts, but they still managed to convert the ancient world. Why are you so apathetic? If you come across a group at work who are a bit difficult, you lose interest in them. Perhaps they've become difficult because you have neglected them. Yet you throw in the towel and think of them as a dead weight which holds back your apostolic ideals because they do not understand you. You may love and serve them with your prayer and mortification, but how do you expect them to listen to you if you never speak to them? On the other hand, there is no such thing as an unchangeable or definitive situation. The passage of time always shows in a true light the person who works and deals honorably with everyone, with the right intention and without seeking personal interest. Only those of unsteady character, with a superficial formation and without clear criteria to guide them, allow themselves to be influenced by what people say. Often this attitude, which even humanly speaking is unattractive, is backed up by the desire to avoid having a hard time, or the fear of putting one's job in danger, for example, or the desire not to be different from others in any way. We read in the responsorial psalm, "Even though princes sit plotting against me, thy servant will meditate on thy statutes. Thy testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors." In order to get over worrying about what people will say, we need to have a right intention, being more concerned about God's opinion than anyone else's. We also need strength to ignore small criticisms in a cheerful and imperturbable manner and be ready to communicate the treasure which each disciple of the Lord has found. We need, too, to give good example, which is simply living coherently with the grace our Lord has placed in our hearts. It is one thing we will never regret. Even in the most difficult environments, we can win souls for Christ if we really want to make those friends, colleagues, and acquaintances of ours happy. Before wanting to make saints out of all those people we love, we must make them happy and joyful, for nothing better prepares a soul for grace than joy. You already know that when you have in your hands the hearts of those whom you wish to make better, if you are able to attract them through the meekness of Christ, you have already gone halfway on your apostolic road. When they love you and trust you, when they are content, the field is ready for the sowing. For their hearts are open like fertile ground, ready to receive the white grain of your word as an apostle or educator. If you know how to speak without wounding, although you may have to correct or reprimand, hearts will not close themselves to you. The seed will fall on truly fertile ground, and the harvest will be plentiful. If things were otherwise, your words would find not an open heart, but a brick wall. Your seed would not fall on fertile ground, but on the side of the road of indifference or distrust, or on rocky ground of a soul that is ill-disposed, or among the thorns of a wounded and resentful heart. We must never lose sight of the fact that our Lord has promised his effectiveness to friendly faces, to cordiality, good manners, and clear, persuasive words which direct and form without wounding. We should never forget that we are men relating to other men, even when what we want is to do good to souls. We are not angels, and therefore our appearance, our smile, our manners are factors which condition the effectiveness of our apostolate. In the Blessed Virgin, we find, as the apostles found, the necessary strength to speak about God without worrying about what people might say. The Master, before ascending to the right hand of the Father, told the disciples, "Go and preach to all the nations." And they had remained full of peace. But they still had doubts. They did not know what to do, and they gathered around Mary, Queen of Apostles, so as to become zealous preachers of the truth, which will save the world. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 16 before the hour, time to pray with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Flesh rejoice in the living God. Alleluia.
My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
Alleluia.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God of hosts.
My soul is longing and yearning, is yearning for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul ring out their joy to God, the living God.
The sparrow herself finds a home, and the swallow a nest for her brood. She lays her young by your altars, Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
They are happy who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. They are happy whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the roads to Zion.
As they go through the bitter valley, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain covers it with blessing. They walk with ever-growing strength. They will see the God of gods in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Turn your eyes, O God, our shield. Look on the face of your anointed.
One day within your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The threshold of the house of God I prefer to the dwellings of the wicked.
For the Lord God is a rampart, a shield. He will give us his favor and glory. The Lord will not refuse any good to those who walk without blame.
Lord God of hosts, happy the man who trusts in you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Bless your people, Lord. You have given us the law that we may walk from strength to strength and raise our minds to you from this valley of tears. May we receive the gifts you have gained for us.
My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. Alleluia.
The house of the Lord has been raised on high, and all the nations will go up to it. Alleluia.
The house of the Lord has been raised on high, and all the nations will go up to it. Alleluia.
In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills.
All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths.
For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again.
O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The house of the Lord has been raised on high, and all the nations will go up to it. Alleluia.
Proclaim this among the nations. The Lord is King. Alleluia.
Proclaim this among the nations. The Lord is King.
Alleluia.
O sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. O sing to the Lord. Bless his name.
Proclaim his help day by day. Tell among the nations his glory and his wonders among all the peoples.
The Lord is great and worthy of praise, to be feared above all gods. The gods of the heathens are not.
It was the Lord who made the heavens. His are majesty and state and power and splendor in his holy place.
Give the Lord, you families of people. Give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name.
Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in his temple. O earth, tremble before him.
Proclaim to the nations, God is king. The world he made firm in its place. He will judge the peoples in fairness.
Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea and all within it thunder praise. Let the land and all it bears rejoice. All the trees of the wood shout for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he comes. He comes to rule the earth. With justice he will rule the world. He will judge the peoples with his truth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, you have renewed the face of the earth. Your church throughout the world sings you a new song, announcing your wonders to all. Through a virgin, you have brought forth a new birth in our world. Through your miracles, a new power. Through your suffering, a new patience. In your resurrection, a new hope. And in your ascension, new majesty.
Proclaim this among the nations. The Lord is King. Alleluia.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. For if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Faith in the heart leads to justification. Confession on the lips to salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
He hung upon the cross for us.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
Do not work for food that will perish, but for food that lasts to eternal life. Alleluia.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Do not work for food that will perish, but for food that lasts to eternal life. Alleluia. Let us pray. The Father glorified Jesus and appointed him heir to all nations. Let us praise him, saying,
Save us, Lord, through your victory.
Lord Christ, by your victory you broke the power of evil and destroyed sin and death.
Make us victorious over sin today.
Save us, Lord, through your victory.
You laid death low and brought us new life.
Grant that we may walk today in this new life.
Save us, Lord, through your victory.
You gave life to the dead and led mankind from death to life.
Give eternal life to all those we shall meet today.
Save us, Lord, through your victory.
You brought confusion to the guards at your tomb, but joy to your disciples.
Grant the fullness of joy to all who serve you.
Save us, Lord, through your victory.
And we pause now to offer the intentions of our own hearts.
Save us, Lord, through your victory.
With the longing for the coming of God's kingdom, let us offer our prayer to the Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that putting off our old self with all its ways, we may live as Christ did. For through the healing paschal remedies, you have conformed us to his nature, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
It's the beginning of another new day, another new week. Another chance to get things right. Morning Air is coming up next with John and Glenn. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. In the meantime, you go out and make it a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.